A few weeks ago, we made a study of Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees. You might remember, he was very harsh with them. They were hypocrites, frauds. They were closing the doors of the kingdom. They were like whitewashed tombs, really very harsh. In today's gospel, Jesus offers a criticism that's not quite so harsh. He says, and it's not just directed to the Pharisees, it's to the people in general. He says, in modern language, you're like spoiled brats. Like spoiled brats. Children who are demanding to have things your own way. So it's a criticism. It's an insulting criticism, but it's not nearly as bad as the hard-heartedness and the hard-headedness of the Pharisees. Although, if people stay in the immaturity of spoiled brats long enough, they become hard-hearted and hard-headed like Pharisees. So that's why it's an important warning. Jesus says, to what can I compare the people of this generation? How can I describe the people that I'm trying to reach here? Well, they're like children who are sitting in the marketplace, and the children who play in the streets like normal children, but their little chant that they sing to one another is, we played the flute for you, but you did not dance, meaning we said, let's have some rejoicing and fun, and you didn't follow our lead. Then we sang a dirge, mournful song, and you did not weep. No. So we were trying to set the rules, and you didn't follow our rules. Which is exactly how spoiled children are. They think that everything revolves around them, and everything should, all activities should be determined by what they decide or what they like. And if they don't get it, well, then they stomp and cry and throw a fit. They're unhappy when people don't do what they want. And that's what Jesus says the people are like. Then he explains why he says that. Because they rejected John the Baptist for being too ascetical, practice too much self-denial. And then they're rejecting Jesus himself for being too lenient, for being too willing to sit down and eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners. From one extreme to another. You can't satisfy these children. How can we apply this to ourselves? Well, we live in a time of exaggerated independence, which leads to extended immaturity. The idea is we can just decide for ourselves what we want to do and no one can tell us what to do. Sounds very appealing, sounds like freedom, but in fact it locks us into the immaturity that we see in this gospel. The immaturity which sees things as revolving around us or me. If things are going the way I like them, then I'll be happy. And if things don't follow my standards or my preferences, then I'll be unhappy and everyone will get the blame. That's a very good description of a lot of modern culture. We are like spoiled children ourselves. We live in a spoiled time of history. And the prevailing idea is of the world is, yeah, you should decide for yourself what you think is real, what you think is good, and no one can tell you what to do, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So we have it to the extreme where people are deciding for themselves what gender they are. They're deciding for themselves what is morally right and wrong. And so the danger is, we are getting more and more locked into a kind of perpetual immaturity, like spoiled brats, spoiled children. Well, what's the solution to this? I'd like to use today's first reading as a way out of that trap of immaturity, because I'll get to that in a moment, because the way out of having everything rely on ourselves is to accept the fact that There are others in the picture. There are standards that are not set by us. And ultimately, there's God, and God is the one who makes things the way they are and who knows best how they should be. So if we're going to get out of the immaturity, we have to open ourselves to authority, both human authority, social norms, and especially the authority of God. Well, people are afraid of this idea of submitting to some higher authority because that means repression, it means falling prey to evil dictators who will determine how your life is going to be, and that's bad. So this fear of being repressed or being boxed in or being forced, that just rises up in the modern mentality. So, and how can we be sure that what so-and-so says about what's right and wrong is actually right? And how can we be sure that what such-and-such group says about the demands of God or what's the right, how can we know that they're right? The answer is the church. The church is God's representative on earth. The church is the body of Christ on earth. The church helps us know what we have to submit to and what we don't have to submit to. Where our real freedom lies in our union with the will of God. And this is what St. Paul says to Timothy in today's first reading. He says, I'm going to visit you, but if I get delayed, I want you to know how to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. It's quite an expression. I want you to know how to behave in the household of God. So there are right ways to behave. There are standards for those who are children of God, those who belong to the household of God. What's the household of God? The church of the living God. And what's the church of the living God? The pillar and foundation of truth. Now, again, using the modern mentality, there is an idea that you can decide for yourselves what church you want to belong to, and you find a church that suits your needs or meets your expectations. This is what's led to the rise of the non-denominational churches, so-called. I see it on display more in the States than here, but still, there's this idea that you go to the church that you like. And you can even, if you don't find one that you don't like, well, you can even start your own, as long as you have the Bible. You can just start your own church. It's a trap because then the standards go back to whoever is joining that church or whoever the pastor happens to be. And then the danger is we become like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, this is how it's going to be. This is how I interpret the Bible, and I'm free to interpret it my own way. If you want to interpret another way, you'll go to a different church. And that's why the fastest growing denomination of Christians is the non-denominational Christians, and the fastest growing church in the States or category of people is those who have no church at all. Because if you have no church at all, then you set the standards yourself. You determine what you're going to believe and how you're going to live, and that's exactly what the problem is in today's gospel. Well, the alternative to that is that there is a true church. There's a church that exists whether you like it or not. And that's the advantage that Catholics have over the non-Catholics. Catholics don't think that they can make the church whatever they want. Catholics know in their guts that the church exists and that we have been brought into it, baptized into it. And there are standards, there's the commandments, and there's the practices, and there's the liturgy, and there's a lot to submit to. There's a lot to accept as is. And that's a very good thing. Because otherwise, how do we know whether it's right or not? I remember talking to a former pastor, this is years ago. He had been a pastor of some non-denominational evangelical church. And he became Catholic. The expression is he entered into full communion. He became a Catholic. I asked him, you know, what that was like for him. One of the things he said was, he's so happy he doesn't have to reinvent himself every Sunday. It's quite an interesting way of putting it. I don't have to reinvent myself every Sunday, because when he was a pastor, it was all up to him to come up with the sermon, to choose the reading, if there was going to be any scripture readings, to choose the topic, and then to present it to the people. And he himself became the standard of his little church. When he became Catholic, he could be free of that burden of determining everything himself, and submit himself to what the church believes and what the church teaches and what the liturgy prays. And he found it very freeing. So here is what the church that we refer to when we talk about church is the Catholic Church, the church that Jesus established. The household of God, the place where we live, where we are secure, and where we learn how to behave. You should know how to behave in the household of God. We do not set our own standards. We follow the standards that Jesus taught to the apostles. The church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. We believe that there is such a thing as truth. It's not determined by us. It is a given. And that we find our freedom and our maturity by submitting to the truth. Let's go back to the problem that was exposed by Jesus in the gospel. First of all, they reject John the Baptist, and then they reject Jesus. So the rejection of John the Baptist represents the refusal to deny ourselves, the refusal to cut into the demands of our flesh and demands of our ego and demands of every self-serving movement in us. Because John the Baptist is one who calls to repentance, and whose lifestyle is a lifestyle of self-denial. So if we reject the call to repentance, if we reject the idea that we're sinners and we have to turn away from sin, then we won't be ready for the coming of the Son of Man who wants to eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners. And this is a funny thing. There's a lot of talk in the church about welcoming sinners and being a listening church and accompanying those who are on the margins. Yes, that's all very good. But the preparation for sitting down at the table with Jesus is the preparation given by John the Baptist. You can't just sit at the table without being prepared by John the Baptist. In other words, you can't enjoy the fellowship unless you're willing to repent and turn away from sin. That's the order of things. If we refuse John the Baptist, we say, oh, he's possessed by a demon, well, then we're not going to be ready to accept the Son of Man who comes eating and drinking. How do we know this? We know it because this is the teaching of the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. It's very freeing to know the truth and to submit to the truth. It leads to great maturity to recognize that there are standards that are not set by ourselves, and to submit to those standards, to rise to them, to strive to do better. It's very freeing, and it's very, it's a maturing process. The most mature people of all are the people in heaven, and no one in heaven is demanding that God do things their way. So when we're on earth, we're learning as children of God how to do things God's way. Exactly the opposite of the children in the marketplace. So let us not be spoiled brats. Let us be faithful, joyful, obedient children of God.